Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Ron Gustafson, your liturgist for this morning. Welcome to Plank Chapel United Methodist Church. We're blessed to have you here worshiping with us this morning. We welcome everyone, including children and young people and those who are watching online. Our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ and impact the community through faith and action. Today we want to praise the Lord for bringing us Gary Dickerson as our guest preacher. Gary is currently lay leader and lay leadership team chairperson at our sister church, Bethel. He is in the process of becoming a certified lay minister in the North Carolina Conference. And just a reminder, Pastor Edgar is continuing his Sabbath rest until next week, September 4. Last week, Jenny Wilson was here as our guest speaker. She will serve as pastor on call this coming week for emergency pastoral care and needs. And you may contact her. The information is printed in your bulletins. Other announcements. The Barn Quilt silent auction ends today. If you'd like to place a bid on either one of the barn quilts in the foyer, do it after church. The Journey leadership team will pick those forms up following church, and then we will contact the winners of that silent auction. And again, the proceeds will help send Journey youth to pilgrimage come November. Another important announcement is we're getting ready for Charge Conference. That will be hosted here at Plank Chapel on November 1st at 5 o'clock. In preparation, there's a lot of work to do within the church body, getting ready, including nomination team meetings. They're printed in your bulletin. The PPRC team has to meet as well as your finance team. And if you have any concerns in regard to church personnel, any positive comments in regard to church personnel, contact the PPRC team. That includes myself. Lorraine is here this morning, as well as Olivia, Sarah, and Mike Haynes. Any other announcements this morning? If not, please open your bulletins, and we'll go through the call to worship. Oh, give thanks to the Lord.
We call on God's name.
Make known the deeds of our Creator. Sing to God, O people.
We will sing praise
to tell of God's wondrous works.
And give thanks for so many miracles.
Come and seek the presence of the Lord.
And glory in God's holy name.
Let the hearts of all who seek the holy rejoice.
For God brings strength to all the people.
Please join now in the opening prayer. Creator God, who shall we say that you are? By what name can we call you? Would that be enough to speak of all you are and all you shall be? We can only call you I Am, for you were and are and always will be the Holy One. You call us by name and invite us to come to you. We answer, Here I am, and come to stand on holy ground. May we remember that all ground is holy ground, for you are in all times and places. Call us to your lives each moment. Amen. Please stand as you're able and join in the opening prayer, number 568, Christ for the World We Sing.
Thank you.
One quick note before we go into the affirmation of faith. The hymn leading into the proclamation, the word of the Lord, has been changed to 467, Trust and Obey. So it's not the one printed in your bulletins. Please join now in the affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Two. Lord have mercy. This makes me more nervous than standing up here before y'all preaching a sermon.
Keep them on his toes, guys.
Let me see here. It's going to be hard for me to get down there with y'all. What's going on? They're identical, right? Except the part in the hair. Is that how you tell them apart with the part? How old are y'all?
Five.
Soon to be six. Bless your hearts. I had not prepared for this. I've been very fortunate in not having children, but at the same time, I guess that's a bad thing. But it's ironic because Pastor Jenny told me last week, because she asked me about the children at our church, and she said, well, you can always go with blind Bartimaeus. Not blind Bartimaeus. Let's see. Zacchaeus. Excuse me. Now, the story goes that Jesus was coming into the city. I forgot what city. But as he was coming into the city, there was crowds and crowds of people waiting there for him. And there was one guy by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a tax collector. And he was a short fellow. He couldn't see very good. I mean, he couldn't see over people, for that matter. So he ran down the road a little ways away from everybody, and he climbed up in a tree. And pretty soon, Jesus came along, and Jesus stopped in his tracks, and he looked up at Zacchaeus, and he told him to come down, Zacchaeus. I have to dine at your house tonight. And he came down, and Christ went to his home with all his disciples. And I want to say that the effort we make in searching for God, in seeking God, is very important. One of the scripture verses that I shared this morning with the 8:15 class, it says, Proverbs, I want to say 8:13, it says, God says, I love those that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. I would love to be able to put my hands on your heads and pass down to you the knowledge that I have gathered in my lifetime, so that when you go out and as you grow up and get older, you'll be fine young gentlemen, and you'll obey your mom and your daddy and your parents and your grandparents, and everybody here in this church is going to lead you in the right direction, that you'll make good decisions in your life. So with that in mind, let's say a prayer together. Father, it's always good to have two young souls before us. It keeps us young as well. And I thank you for each one. I pray a blessing upon them. I pray a blessing upon their mother and their father and their families and everything that concerns them, Lord, that from this moment on that your angels would camp about them and keep them safe and strong and just secure in all that they do, and that they'll grow up and be fine young men one day. And I ask it in your name. Amen. Can y'all help me up? Telling you. So is I'm up, Ron? I'm up. Okay. You have to hold my hand. I'm sorry. Do we pray the prayers of the people together, or just me? Just me. All right, y'all. Follow along. God of love and mercy, be with us this day. We have faltered in our service to you. We create divisions between various people. We judge before we listen. We condemn before we make any attempt to understand. Our lives are in turmoil, and we confess that we have turned away from you. It is fear and anger that too often surround us, and our actions become based on those fears and anger. Slow us down. Lord, give us hearts overflowing with grace and compassion. Help us to mirror Jesus, who loved and healed others who were rejected by the society. Remind us that we are called to be strong voices of hope for those who feel alienated and lost. We're called to be a home to strangers, to quench thirst and to give nourishment, to welcome and bring words of hope. Forgive us when we have forgotten these things, for we ask these things in Jesus' name, who teaches us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. We forgive those who trespass against us. It's not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory ever. Amen. Receive these words of assurance. Christ calls each of us into lives of service and hope. He equips us for these ministries and places us on the pathways of peace. Rejoice, you are called by God's Son and blessed by Him.
Thanks be to God.
Y'all say hello to one another. You can walk around, mingle, whatever. It's all right with me.
Trust in
Thank y'all. Y'all join me in the prayer for illumination, please. Gracious God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, and strength to follow on the path you set before us. Through Jesus Christ, amen. Go back one what? I thought y'all, I don't remember the times I've been here before. Y'all passed the plate? Okay. Father, we thank you. We just ask that gratitude and thankfulness for your goodness and your mercy towards us, just that we would realize it more and more every day, and that we express it with giving back to you what you've given to us. So we just ask a blessing upon this offering and to the service of you and your causes, and we ask this in your name. Amen. Where'd I put it at? All right. .467. Thank you. Y'all be seated. Let me clarify my introduction by Ron. I finished the second stage yesterday of being a certified lay speaker. I'm not all in yet for the certified lay ministry. That's an 8-month class, and it involves homework, computer homework on top of that. And I'm not much up on homework anymore. But, you know, when we introduced ourselves yesterday in the class, and I think he had like 4 questions. What were your expectations? And my expectation for graduating as a certified lay speaker, I want to see if this opens up doors where God will send me to a different church periodically. Just like I come visit y'all. If there's a church that is in need of somebody to fill the pulpit, then I'm glad to do it. The idea of an evangelist, I find that very appealing. That way I can come in and stir the pot and leave and let y'all straighten everything out after I'm gone. But anyway, y'all, if you want to, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 2. And as you can well see, the title of the sermon, of the message, is Pestiferous Microbes. That was the first thing that the 8 o'clock Fresh Awakenings, they were just, what is that? And for the truth of it, it come from a devotional. And the devotional was written by a pastor by the name of John Henry Jewett. And he's one of my favorite writers, if you would. He's a preacher, theologian, all those things. And so I'm kind of piggybacking off him a little bit. And in those scriptures in chapter 2, the emphasis in that 9 verses, the emphasis of that scripture there is verse 14. And we're talking about Christ here. And it says, this is a Geneva Bible now I'm reading from. And this is 1599. So I'll try to paraphrase words if things sound, you know, don't sound familiar or something. But it says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, Christ Jesus himself likewise took part with us, that he might destroy through death him that had the power of death, and that is the devil." Now, when I read that devotional, he had a sentence in that devotional that just struck me. I had never heard it before. And when we think about Christ, one of his various ministries while he was here, a ministry of destruction, using that word destroy right there. A ministry of destruction is something that we've never talked about. I had never heard it before, really, before I read that. And that's the focus, if you want to, this morning, or the direction we're going to go. Now, if you see me up here playing with my telephone, I'm looking up scripture. I can do it quicker with this than I can with my Bible. So I would guess everybody here is a big fan of medical shows. I've thought about it. I can remember all the way back to Marcus Welby, MD, when I was a child. And recently I started watching that medical show about House. And he's a diagnostic medical doctor where he just goes about diagnosing diseases. And there's 8 seasons of it, and I made it into season 7 before I stopped. You know, he's a brilliant doctor, but his demeanor is just, you know, is worth turning off, basically. So when we talk about, let me tell you another story. One of the guys at the gym I was talking to one day, and I asked him about his wife. And he told me she'd been sick. And he went on to describe it, what happened to her. And he told me that a virus had entered the lining of her heart, and it had caused her a lot of pain. And it was something as simple as Advil to cure it up. So the focus we want to talk about this morning, and we're going to explore, is sin is like a virus. It is so small and so subtle that we don't even recognize it sometimes until we have been affected by it. Whatever word or deed or how you want to address it. Now in the book of Romans chapter 5 verse 12, we are told that as by one man sin entered into the world, and we all experienced death because of that sin that he committed. And so death went over all people, all men, in who all men have sinned. And that is our state and our condition before God the Father until we ask Jesus Christ into our life. And then we begin that journey of redemption, a journey of justification, a journey of being made holy in his sight. Redemption, I'm trying to think, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, that our redemption, our justification, and there's two more, but I can't remember it. That was thrown in there right off the top of my head, so y'all forgive me for that. So when we come to this pestiferous infections, we're talking about a virus, something that can be so deadly. I mean, if I was to ask for a show of hands who was affected by COVID, I was. It was as sick as I ever felt. Then I had the flu. If I look back over the last 6 years, I've been sick three times. And the last time I had a urinary tract infection, and that was just as bad as everything else, as the other two. So we take this phrase, this pestiferous microbes, because sin is so small, and we can apply it to ourselves and we can apply it to humanity overall, that it is something that we carry about within us, is this virus that is called sin. And no one is exempt. We inherited it, and eventually death comes to each and every one of us. And as Paul says, then comes the judgment. The microbe of sin that is within us, we can't see it internally, but it is expressed externally in our behaviors, in our words, in our actions, in our thoughts, in every detail, basically, of our life. There's always the influence of sin, if you would. As I told the early meeting awakenings, that pray without ceasing is a constant issue should be in our life. If you get out of the house and go out into this world and mingle or interact with people, you learn the value of prayer, because it's just more and more people. I was talking to somebody the other day in Oxford. I said, I don't even know nobody no more, hardly. You know, it's just growing so fast, and there's so many people that the few I know is few and far between. One scripture that I think Wayne read this scripture at the prayer meeting, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. That when we lean on our own understanding, that is when we are most vulnerable to this outbreak of sin, or being affected by this virus of sin, when we lean on our own understanding. As in contrast, trusting in God should be the motto of our life. That whatever I want to say and whatever I want to do, the thoughts that come into my mind are all influenced by the presence of Christ dwelling in my heart and in your hearts. This is the rest. This is the peace that Christ would offer us. I read, it's being conscious of Christ all the time. That the consciousness of Christ is being produced within us so much that it proves, this consciousness proves itself as we go out into this world and move and live and have our being, that we have that movement through Christ Jesus. I got wrote down here, this disease only grows more aggressive with a quiet destruction within us. That the, right off the top of my head, I think about what Jesus said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's a fact. That's his sole purpose. And sin is his means of doing it, and he'll go about it in any way he can. And if we don't leave, if we leave this thing untreated, this issue of sin in our life, that we reach a state of neuropathy. Another medical term for you there. And this neuropathy that we're talking about is a spiritual neuropathy, where we lose the ability to hear and have our hearts touched by the Word of God. And there's nothing to me more sadder than to read that sentence and to think that somebody's heart cannot be touched by the Word of God. One of my neighbors in the neighborhood, it was a young man that my father and mother raised, basically. I think she got him, mom and daddy got him when he was 6 weeks old. She went back to work. And he, I was talking to his cousin the other week, and he basically told me that he was lost, that he was without hope, basically. And unless you have traveled the path of addiction, you can't really understand that. But I understand it. Because there comes a time when you, in this state of being lost, that you just accept that fact, that that's how it's going to be. But Christ, out of his love and mercy and compassion and the grace of God, offers us a way out of that situation. So every morning I pray for him. I should have been praying for him a long time, but I'm guilty and I haven't been. But he's one of the first names on my list every morning when I bring my prayers before God. What's even more worse is we become insensitive to sin. And our eyes and our ears are affected. Christ quoted Isaiah in this, with this scripture. Let me find that for you so I can read it to you. You can see how fast I can do this. Matthew 13, 19. Let me see. Pardon me. I'm going to find it somewhere else. Isaiah 6, 9 through 10. Sometimes I get bad about this. That make the heart of this people fat, that their ears are heavy and they shut their eyes lest they should see with their eyes and they should hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and they'd be repent and God would heal them. That is the case where God's word doesn't touch our lives. I could ask you, how much time do you spend in God's word? This is another tragedy of leaning on your own understanding, is that this disease of sin affects our hearts so badly inside that outwardly we may appear fine, but sin can be compared to high blood pressure. It's something that we can't really see or feel until it's too late. And it causes pain and punishment inside our bodies that we're slowly being destroyed. And anybody in here that is affected by high blood pressure knows what I'm talking about. In the scriptures, when we talk about this this virus of sin, One good way to analyze our condition is by the words that come out of our mouth. The scriptures teach us that Matthew 12, verse 14, and these are the words of Christ, that out of the heart flow the issues of life. So all you got to do is, like I told the class, in the sermon before I got here, sometimes I have to tell myself to shut up, that I get tired of hearing my mouth and what is coming out of it. As weird as that might sound, I do sometimes. I'm not as bad as I used to be. I can say that. But I wrote that down. I didn't think about reading it, but I did that. I tell myself to shut up when I get a sharp tongue or I become critical, because it's so easy to judge. It's so easy. It's really easy to gossip. That's one of the worst. Bitterness in your heart that has caused you pain by some actions or behavior by a loved one or somebody in your family that's close to you. I want to turn now to the solution, the answer that we should be seeking for. And one of the answers is, I want to say, I hope I got it right, 15:26. And this is Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. And this is Moses talking. No, this is God talking. And God tells him, he says, that if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord, and that you'll will do what's right in his sight, and you will give ear to his holy words, and that you will keep them, then I will put none of these diseases upon you which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now we'll personalize that, because that's what I do now more than anything. I personalize God's word to my life. The disease of sin is something that has to be eradicated in our life. Christ is taking care of it. It is a daily activity of our hearts that we present ourselves to God, that we pick up our cross and follow him daily, that every day is a day of surrender. Every day is a day of repentance. Every day is a day of confession. And if I could think of something else to add to that, I would, but that's it. I cannot emphasize enough the relationship that we should have and are to have with the person of Jesus Christ, that we walk so close to him it's as if we were holding his hand, that God will heal us. We are offered this gift of healing. In Exodus 15:26, I quoted it in the other service, that God says, I will pour clean water upon you, and I will heal you and cleanse you from all your filthiness, all the sin that possibly could be in our life, that we are offered to be cleansed from it. Now, in this ministry of destruction that I talked about earlier, in verse 14, it talks about that Christ has death has been destroyed by Christ, that the power of death has been destroyed by Christ. That Satan, the power of Satan, when it comes to dying, has been destroyed. That through Christ, he has passed through that portal, if you would, that we are going to pass through one day. That Christ has already gone before us and taken care of it, if you would, if you want to phrase it that way. That's the way I'm going to phrase it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose was made manifest the Son of God, that he might loose the works of the devil. There again, you could substitute that word loose for destroy, that Christ might destroy the works of the devil. But it all comes down to the same thing that happened to Adam in the Garden of Eden. It's your choice. It's your decision. You have the power to decide which path you'll take. If we use that analogy, you can go down the wide and broad road, or you can learn what it means to go down that narrow path. And Christ tells us that few people find it. That should scare some of us. It causes you to pause and wonder sometimes, because it is a narrow path. Christ even says you have to strive to find that narrow path. So it takes effort on our part. So we talk about this ministry of destruction again. Our problem has been given us, which is sin. And as I mentioned, anger, sin, resentments, bitterness. But most dangerous of all these sins is when we lean on our own understanding and we don't trust in God. I believe trust in God is a gift. It is something that the Holy Spirit creates in us. I've got a Jewish Bible, and when you read the Jewish Bible, if you go to that hall of faith in chapter, I think, 11 of Hebrews, and in every version, literally, it says that by faith, Abraham, by faith, Isaac, and everybody in there is described by faith. But in the Jewish Bible, it says by trust. By trust, Abraham did this. By trust, Isaac did this. By trust, Enoch walked with God. So you have to analyze for yourself, be honest with yourself. As I told the other church, grace is only grown in the dirt of honesty. So it requires you to be honest with yourself. And like Paul says, examine yourself and see if you're in the faith. So trusting in God is the answer to all our questions, all our problems. He is the solution to the needs of us in our life, no matter what the situation might be. Do I Benedict close now? Or I'm going to close when she... As Pastor Jenny did last at our church, and I love it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Our last hymn is going to be hymn 474. receive this benediction. May the Lord Jesus Christ go with each one of you, watch over you, take care of you, supply all your needs. May your hearts reach out to him with a yearning for his words that have never known before. And I just watch over and take care of each one here, Lord, and I ask it in your name. Amen.